This last Friday, I was studying in preparation for the preaching of the gospel on Saturday and for pulpit ministry, church ministry, pastoral ministry on the Lord's Day, and took note of our nation declaring its independence from God, declaring its rebel intentions, declaring its own destruction. For indeed, God's word stands. The wages of sin is death. Death to individual souls, death to relationships, death to our psyche, death to our flesh, and death to nations. As God is a just and omnipotent God, I was compelled to pray. I was compelled to communicate truth on the World Wide Web. And I could no longer sit peaceably and study. I was compelled to go into the public square and proclaim the truth, and was blessed to do so. The basic truth that God defines marriage, not man. God defines sin, not man. That Jesus still saves sinners, and homosexuality is still sin. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. 1 Timothy 1:15. Our nation, in a Romans 1:18 through 32 manner, has been given over to its sin, has been given over to what we desire. We have suppressed the truth of God in unrighteousness. We have willfully rejected our God, and He has given us over. The symbol of this rebellion, the symbol of the LGBT cultural rebellion against God, is the rainbow. Hijacked, the rainbow stolen from the throne room of God. And yet God possesses it still. He reigns, omnipotent still. He rules in the heavens and in the earth still. Next week we'll return to our exposition of Mark. Today we're going to look at God's promises. Three of God's promises, a topical message. Some cultural events demand to be addressed. God's promises. The first promise, the promise of the rainbow. The promise of the rainbow. Last night in the evening news, Portland was breaking out in debauchery. Once again, expressing their rebellion against their Creator in taking off their clothes and riding through Portland nude. Nude with the exception of rainbow-colored attire. Rainbow wigs. The lesbian and homosexual community have attempted to appropriate and hijack the rainbow, to steal the rainbow from God. But let us return to the Holy Scriptures to see what the rainbow is and what it promises. The most glorious manifestation of the rainbow in Holy Scripture, we've already sung about. Our God, the one true God, God who is holy, 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 is clothed in rainbow. Revelation 4, verses 1 through 8. Revelation 4, verses 1 through 8. After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, "Come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this." Immediately I was in the Spirit. And behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Brothers and sisters, one sits upon the throne. Even now, and for all eternity, he rules upon his throne. Our sinful nation, the LGBT community, has not dethroned God. He is a just judge, Psalm 7:11 declares, and angry with the wicked, and the wicked do not define sin and righteousness. God, who sits upon his throne, defines sin and righteousness. I don't define sin and righteousness. I receive God's definition in his holy word. And because I love my fellow man, and I would not have them to perish in their sin, I must deliver God's definition of sin and righteousness, and the warning of judgment, and the hope of eternal life, the repentance and faith in Christ Jesus. Immediately, says John, the Spirit moved author of Revelation, Revelation 4, verse 2, immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardius stone in appearance, and there was a rainbow around the throne, clothed in rainbow. The rainbow is a symbol of the holiness, the radiant glory of God. It cannot be, it will not be appropriated, stolen, or hijacked by men and women so deeply set in rebellion against God. There was a rainbow around the throne, an appearance like an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads, and from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. That's what we've just sung of. And it was glorious. Why did that song so move me? Because it was so full of this scene from heaven. So glorious. And from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. Our God is all glorious, all powerful. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Before the throne was a sea of glass like crystal. In the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures full of eyes in front and in back. And the first living creature was like a lion, the second living creature like a calf, the third living creature had a face like a man, and the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. And the four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest day or night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." That is God. Yes, He is our God, but He is God, whether He is our God or not. That is God, clothed in rainbow, with lightnings and thunderings proceeding from His throne. That is God, surrounded by an angelic host, worshiping Him perpetually and rightly, crying out, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." He is everlasting to everlasting, Alpha to Omega, beginning to end, eternally God. And His reign is uninterrupted. His rule is uninterrupted. His rule is unthreatened by rebel man. He resides upon His throne, omnipotent, clothed in rainbow. Oh, yes. All glorious. Holy. 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 Should terrify those who are unholy. Those who are wicked and reveling in their wickedness, using the symbol of the rainbow in their defiance of God, their Creator. He who is rightly clothed in rainbow is holy, holy, holy. The beginning of knowledge is the fear of he who is clothed in rainbow and is holy, holy, holy. For he will crush them in their rebellion. He will judge them eternally. He will pour out the wrath that is just and fitting and due upon their sins forevermore unless they repent. Take note, the angels are not crying out, benevolent, benevolent, benevolent. The angels are not crying out, tolerant, tolerant, tolerant. The angels are not crying out, broad-minded, broad-minded, broad-minded. God is holy, and He is just, and He will judge the wicked. In His mercy, He has made a way of escape. In His mercy, He has made a way of forgiveness through His Son. But the path is narrow, and there are few that find it. And there are a multitude who come and say, Lord, Lord, and the Lord Jesus will say, go from me. I never knew you, you who practice lawlessness. There are a great number today professing the name of Jesus, professing to know God who sits upon the throne, who is holy, 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 who is clothed in rainbow, and yet they are reveling in their sins. And reveling in the sins of others, if not themselves, and claiming that these who have misappropriated the symbol and who have misappropriated the body that God has given them, rebelling against their very gender and the very fiber of their beings, claiming that they are right with God, that they are even Christians, while so defying God in their sinful rebellion. This is a fiction. This is a fantasy. This is a heresy. This is something that needs a new term. Here is the term. LGBT apostasy. Homosexual apostasy. It's another form of Christianity. It is not genuine. It will not save. It is the very epitome of Matthew 7, which every LGBT and every atheist loves to quote, and they've been quoting it all week to anyone who speaks any truth on the matter. They say, judge not, lest you be judged. Of course, the Lord Jesus went on to say, judge rightly. And the Lord Jesus went on to say, to warn them, that many will come to me and many will say, Lord, Lord, and I will say to them, go from me, I do not know you, you who practice lawlessness. Lawlessness. What America so desperately needs is a Tony Miano, a Bobby McCurry, a Jeff Rose, a Robert Gray, a Mike Stockwell, a Cy Ten Bruggen Kate, and you and I on every street corner of America heralding forth the law of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need the revelation of God, His holy standard, His holiness. We need a revival of the fear of God. America now has a God that is unholy, a God that is all tolerant, and a flock of followers that are unholy and intolerant. The tolerance movement is anything but tolerant. They are violently intolerant of anyone who would speak truth to their sinful behavior. Brothers and sisters, if America will be saved from the wrath of God, It will be saved by individual Americans, men and women, boys and girls, coming to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. And faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. We need to unleash the gospel in our land. Unleash the revelation of God's holy Word in our land. Our land is lost. Our nation is lost. Your future is lost. Your financial security is lost. Your career is lost. Your grandchildren are lost. God is a just judge. Oh, all sin is sin, yes, and that any sin will take you to hell. But some sin takes you there more quickly. And some sin brings hell now and hell later. And this sin is in that category. Because it is the deep-seated, deeply rooted rebellion against God and the very fiber of our being. We're not even going to be the man, the woman that God created us to be. We are going to surgically mutilate ourselves. And legally mutilate, judiciously mutilate God's design for marriage. The promise of the rainbow. It's God's rainbow, and He is clothed in it, and He is upon His throne, He is ruling, He is almighty, and He is holy, holy, holy. May our culture and those in rebellion within it be warned. Genesis 6, please. Genesis 6, the promise of the rainbow is found particularly in Genesis 6 and 7 and 9. I have to move a little quickly here. Genesis 6, verse 5, "Then the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing, and the birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." Friends, God is a just judge. God is omnipotent. God is omniscient. He right now is looking upon our rebellion, our sin. He has seen exactly what he saw in Genesis 6. The wickedness of man, great in the earth, and every intent of the thoughts of our hearts, evil continually. As he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah before us, he will destroy our Sodom and Gomorrah, no matter how much we cling to American pride. That's the very fault of America. American pride. And pride is the other banner of the LGBT movement. I will destroy man whom I've created from the face of the earth. God is a just judge. And he brought judgment on mankind universally. God is a just judge. He will most certainly bring judgment upon individual sinners. He will most certainly bring judgment upon a nation called the United States of America. It is not too great to fail. America's greatness, whatever is left of it, whatever there once was of the grace of God. Genesis 6, verse 13, God said to Noah, because Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, if you truly are in Christ, you have found grace in the eyes of the Lord. It's all of His grace that you're in Christ Jesus. And by God's grace, there are others who will find grace in the eyes of the Lord. And we must go and rescue them and call them to the ark, lest they perish. Genesis 6, verse 13, God said to Noah, "The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and outside with pitch." Genesis 7, 1, "Then the Lord said to Noah, come into the ark, you and all your household." Genesis 7, 21, "And all flesh died that moved on the earth, birds and cattle, beasts and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, and every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of the Spirit of life, all that was on the dry land died. So he destroyed all living things that were on the face of the ground, both man and cattle, creeping things and bird and air, birds of the air. They were destroyed from the earth. Only Noah and those who were with him in the ark remained alive. Brothers and sisters, only those who are in the ark of Christ will remain alive. The wages of sin is death. Death physically and death eternally. Only those who are in the ark of Christ will survive. All others will be crushed. All others will perish in their sins. Look to Jesus. Follow Jesus. And call to the world around you to follow Jesus, to come aboard the ark of Christ, for they will perish outside of Christ. Even as in Noah's day, Noah, it says, was a preacher of righteousness for 100 years. As he was building the ark, he was preaching to his world. He was preaching to humanity. He was calling them to repentance, and not one did. With the exception of his children and their wives. Brothers and sisters, get your children, get your wives, get your husbands, do all that's within you. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. Bring them the Word of God. Love them with action and truth. Get them on the ark of Christ. Now our prayer is a great many others, a multitude more. Our prayer is even the Lord will yet relent and grant revival that America will experience a mass repentance and confession of Christ as Lord. That is our hope, and don't give up on that hope. Strive, pray, work, sweat toward that hope. And yet, get your children on the ark. Get your children on the ark. Get those who are near and dear to you on the ark of Christ and hold them there fast. For there is a great deluge coming. And all those outside the ark will perish. God is a just judge. Genesis 9, verse 8, then God spoke to Noah and to his sons with him, saying, and as for me, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the cattle, every beast of the earth with you and all that go out of the ark, every beast of the earth. Thus I establish my covenant with you. Never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood. Never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I set my rainbow in the cloud. I set my rainbow in the cloud. God is upon his throne. Almighty, holy, 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 clothed in rainbow. And he set in the cloud as the symbol of his covenant, the rainbow, that he will not again destroy mankind and all that has the breath of life and its flesh from the face of the earth with water. With water. He will never again bring a universal judgment to mankind with water. And the symbol of the rainbow is the covenant symbol that God is holy, that God is a just judge, that God has judged all of humanity and wiped them out in a global, worldwide flood, and He'll not do it again. The promise of the rainbow. This is the sign of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I set my rainbow in the cloud. And it shall be for the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. The promise of the rainbow. Secondly, the promise of judgment. the promise of judgment. Look to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. The promise of judgment. While God set His rainbow in the sky as a sign of covenant that He would never again wipe out humanity with a worldwide flood, He did not say He would never judge humanity on a global scale. He did not say He would never again judge mankind. Quite the contrary. The promise of judgment is found in 2 Peter 3, verse 1. Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder. I want you to get this. I want you to remember this. I want to stir up your minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts. So I want you to be mindful of this. I want you to think on this. Scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts. We're there. We have arrived. That sound familiar? Your little GPS in your car? You have arrived. Your biblical GPS, 2 Peter 3:1, you have arrived. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts. That's where we are. Every man doing what is right in his own lust is the rule of our land. Verse 4. Saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. So in these last days, when men walk, they live out, they act upon their lust, where lust is the central drive. In these last days, where lust is ruling and reigning, they're going to say this: where is the promise of His coming? Where is your God? Where is this judge who is clothed in rainbow, holy, holy, holy upon the throne? And even today, right now, there are men crying that out to me. Where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Look, there was a big bang. Look, there were natural processes of evolution. Look, it's all continuing as it has been. People live, people die. It's all continuing as it has been. Where is the promise of His coming? You understand that that is supposed to be a central tenet of Christianity? That is supposed to be our constant focus and part of our constant message? Christ is coming. The King is returning. The Lord will soon return. The trumpet and the shout will soon be heard. We are to be an expectant people. We are to be a people that are continually warning rebel mankind as ambassadors of Christ, warning them to lay down their arms and cease their rebellion against the King, to bend their knee and to kiss the Son, lest He be angry. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is a central tenet of our faith. And the world cries out, where is the promise of His coming? Everything is as it always is, and is going to continue to be as it always has been. Verse 5, this they willfully forget. They willfully forget it. They do not want to remember it. They know it, but they willfully forget it. That by the word of God, the heavens were of old. The first thing they willfully forget is this. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The first thing they willfully forget is their holy creator, God. The first thing they willfully forget is what? Is that they are creatures created by God and subject to God. And they will abide as creatures beneath God's rule forevermore. This they willfully forget. That by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. The first thing they willfully forget is that God is their creator. The first thing that they willfully forget is that we are creatures of our Creator. The second thing they willfully forget is that our Creator has judged mankind universally once already. That our Creator has brought a global judgment, a worldwide deluge of water already. This they willfully forget, that God is holy and that He is angry with the wicked every day. And that He in His omnipotence, the same omnipotence in which He used to create the heavens and the earth, He in His omnipotence will judge sinners. You know, the lights pop on behind you. You might think, maybe I can hit the accelerator and escape the police, right? Because I don't want to pay that ticket. Maybe so. And maybe you will. But friends, you'll not escape the judgment of God. You'll not escape. All you need do is breathe your last breath and you'll be there. That's the reality. You'll be there. Unless you've already escaped through Jesus Christ. There's one escape and one only. It's not the accelerator. It's Jesus Christ and Him alone. This they willfully forget, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, the earth standing out of the water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. They willfully forget their holy Creator God. They willfully forget that God in His holiness has already judged humanity and brought a worldwide flood. And they willfully forget that God in His holiness will judge the world, the cosmos even, and all of humanity in it. And that there's a great deluge of fire coming. An eternal lake of fire. The heavens and the earth, which are now preserved with the same word, the same word. What is that? Let there be light. The same word that created everything. The word of God. The heavens and earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly. Verse 8, but beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise. Those who were saying, oh, but everything's continuing as it was. Where's His promise of coming? You know, He's not powerful enough. He's not able. He can't fulfill it. He's not even there. He doesn't even exist. Oh, no, no, no. Beloved, do not forget this thing. Beloved, it says. Now, the atheistic, unbelieving, idolatrous, following false God world needs to know this and hear this. But we need to know this and hear this. Don't fret in an hour of darkness. Don't fret when the world seeks to throw off God. Don't fret when the world seeks to steal from the throne of God the rainbow in which He is clothed. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is bringing to Himself, in His grace, He's bringing to Himself all those for whom Jesus died. Not one will be lost. As He hung between God, holy, 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 and mankind, sinful and wicked, He said, "It is finished." He bowed His head. He gave up His spirit. He paid the price of iniquity. He took the fullness of the wrath of God in full, complete, finished, done. He obtained eternal redemption, Hebrews says. And that full number for whom He atoned, that full number for whom He propitiated, that full number for whom He suffered and died as a substitute must and will come in. And when the last one comes, when the last one repents, when the last one confesses Jesus Christ as Lord, there will be a trumpet and a shout, and the wrath of the Lamb will come. Beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, the promise of judgment. He is not slack. He is not slack. It will come. But beloved, He will save those who flee from the wrath to come to Jesus, the only escape. He's not slack concerning either promise. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Oh, that we would plead with the world. Oh, that we would plead with sinners. Oh, that we would plead with our LGBT neighbors and love them with action and truth, calling them to turn from sin and to look to Jesus. I am not calling you, God is not calling you, to political activism, to conservative activism, to even moral activism, for the sake of moralism, but for the sake of love. For the sake of love. For the wages of sin is death. Their sins will destroy them. Their sins will call the wrath of God down upon them and their children. Their sins will call the wrath of God down upon our nation. Their sins blaspheme the God whom we love. And so out of love of God, out of love of sinners, out of love of the saints, we are compelled to herald forth, to declare, to proclaim, to preach the law of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ, that they should not perish, but come to repentance. Verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. How does a thief in the night come? When you're ready for him? No. Unexpectedly. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and elements will melt with a fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. It'll all be burned. The Lord sustains His creation, and He will unsustain it. He will let loose of the gluons that hold it all together, and it will be consumed in a great fire. A great noise, it'll be the greatest nuclear blast imaginable. As on a nuclear level, all the cosmos lets loose. And the elements will melt with a fervent heat, both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Friends, this is not the time to compromise. This is not the time to make peace with the world where there could be no peace. This is the time to be holy in conduct and godliness, because this is all going to be burned. Looking for and hastening the coming day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with a fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which only righteousness dwells. The Lord has promised to bring judgment upon sin. He has also promised to bring a new heavens and a new earth in which only righteousness dwells. We will not forever suffer billboards that celebrate perversion. We will not forever suffer Tylenol commercials that celebrate perversion. We will not forever suffer cancer and AIDS. We will not forever suffer our own fallen nature and the vestiges of that which remain and still at times ravage our precious relationships. This old world, ravaged by sin, will be put off. There will be a new heavens and a new earth in which only righteousness dwells. Verse 14, therefore, beloved, based upon that, beloved, because that is true and because we know it to be true, despite what the scoffers come and willfully reject, therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by Him in peace, without spot and blameless. And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do the rest of the Scriptures. Quick note there. There are many, many, as I spoke briefly of earlier, who are twisting the words of the Lord Jesus, judge not lest you be judged. They are the judge not lest you be judged, church. Sin is fine. Sin is wonderful. God loves sinners. Yes, God has loved sinners, and that He sent His Son to die. And His Son said this, repent and believe the gospel, or you'll not see the kingdom of God. We must turn from sin. We can't redefine sin and make it non-sin. We must turn from sin to Jesus in faith, or will not see the kingdom of God. There are some who are unstable, who twist the words of the Lord, as they do the rest of the Scriptures. Verse 17, you therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, we've been told about this. We've been told in the last days that a lust-filled culture will do these things. Therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness. We have been told that Christ will return, that Christ will conquer, that this old world will be undone, and there'll be a new world in which only righteousness dwells. And so remain steadfast. We've been told beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness. There's going to be a great falling away. There's going to be a great falling away. Church after church, pastor after pastor, falling away, making peace where there can be no peace, making peace with sin, redefining righteousness, redefining Christ, redefining God, joining the rebellious rainbow movement against God who is holy, 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 and clothed in rainbow upon His throne. Beware, lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. The wicked, don't miss the biblical terms. They're uncompromising. They're dogmatic. They're clear. There is wickedness. Beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness. Be steadfast, being led away with the error of the wicked. Verse 18, but grow instead, in place of being led away, in place of falling away in the error of the wicked, grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Do you know by God's grace, I really truly believe that I and we are growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I love Him more than ever. I understand Him more than ever. I understand His mission more than ever. I see it with greater clarity than ever before. I see Him with greater clarity than ever before, and I love Him more than I ever have before. And that's by the grace of God. in these dark hours. Don't get caught up in the darkness. Don't join them in darkness. Don't make peace where there can be no peace. Be steadfast and draw near to your Lord, and let the darkness be a backdrop upon which the glory of your Christ shines forth. Grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As the world gets more and more caught up in lies, in foolishness, in insanity, it all the more highlights the wisdom of God. God possesses all wisdom. Christ possesses and is all wisdom. This world has rejected the wisdom of God. And they are showing their folly, even as they wreck and ruin and mutilate their bodies. Even as they wreck and ruin and mutilate marriage and family and our nation and the rule of law and our Constitution. Even as they claim to believe in the theory of evolution and the survival of the fittest, and yet they behave and celebrate and encourage behavior that does not fit that. It is not fit. It's insanity. Sin makes you crazy, and it destroys you and those around you. But we, verse 18, are to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever. Now and forever. Fix your eyes on Him. Fix your eyes on the glory that's to come. But we are to shine forth His glory now in a dark world that so desperately needs the light of Christ. The promise of the rainbow. The promise of judgment. Third point, the promise of new creation. And for any homosexual, any lesbian, any unbeliever that listens to this message, hear this point. And for every Christian, hear this point. This is vital. This is precious. This is glorious. The promise of new creation. There is hope. There is victory. There is joy to come. 1 Corinthians 6:9-11. If you do not know this scripture, you need to know this scripture. 1 Corinthians 6:9-11. You will need to know this every day of your life. If you're going to be of any service to Christ in this wicked culture, you need a handle of 1 Corinthians 6:9-11. You need a dogmatic stand. You need to climb up on the hill of 1 Corinthians 6:9-11 and place the flag of Christ firmly there and stand resolute and unmoving because you love your Christ and you love those for whom Christ died. The devil and those that serve him are assaulting this mountain, are assaulting this hill. And this isn't just any hill. This is a gospel hill, and the gospel hill is the hill to die on. Don't give ground. Don't give an inch of God's gospel ground. This isn't some political issue. It's not just some moral issue. It is a gospel issue. The promise of new creation. You see, the devil comes and lies and says, you can be whatever you want to be. You can be whatever creature you want to be. You want to be a pig? You can be a pig. You want to be a dog? You can be a dog. You want to act like a dog? You can act like a dog. You want to act like a woman? You can act like a woman. You want to act like a man? You can act like a man. You want to marry a pig, a dog, a woman, a man? No matter what you are, that's all good and fine. And that's the devil. He's a liar. But God says this, you are a sinner. You are dead in sin and trespass. Sin has corrupted you utterly, thoroughly, totally. You are totally depraved. And yet, in my mercy, in my grace, I will make you new. I will make you what I always intended you to be, a righteous man of God, a righteous woman of God, a child of God who will abide in my presence forevermore. The devil comes with his lies and says, you can be whatever wicked thing, you vile thing, insane thing you want to be. You can mutilate and destroy your body, your relationships. Don't miss that. Bruce Jenner hasn't just destroyed his body. He's destroyed his relationships with his family. His intense self-love and his complete subjection to the lies of the devil have destroyed his flesh and his life. And he is now the trophy. He is now the Trojan horse in our culture that a great multitude will follow behind, that a great multitude will come forth from. The promise of a new creation, 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the church of Corinth, a church of Corinth in the city of Corinth, which is much like America today and our cities, much like Portland, Oregon. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? To every man and woman, perpetually and incessantly saying, God is a God of love. Love wins. Judge not, lest you be judged. The Word of God, the Apostle Paul, the Spirit of God in the Apostle Paul, God Himself says this, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? You cannot be a homosexual and a Christian. You cannot be a lesbian and a Christian. You can't be an ongoing unrepentant adulterer and a Christian. You can't be an ongoing unrepentant fornicator and a Christian. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. The devil would deceive you. You can be a Christian and whatever kind of sinner you want to be too. That's a lie of the devil. No, the message of Jesus, the first message, Mark 1:15, and His consistent message all through His ministry was repent and believe the gospel. If you have not repented of sin, you have not believed the gospel. Do you want to know, or do you not know, the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Thus saith the Lord. It's not my opinion. It's the Word of God. And He sits upon the throne, clothed in rainbow, holy, 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 omnipotent, reigning. Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Listen, you can't be given over to extortion and inherit the kingdom of God. If your life is a lifestyle of extortion, you're on the way to hell. Repent, confess Christ as Lord. You cannot be given over to reviling, to hating your fellow man. In fact, the Lord said, if you hate your fellow man, your brother, you're a murderer, and you do not have eternal life abiding in you. Nor drunkards, if you're given over and a slave to alcohol or drugs, prescription or otherwise, if you live an existence where you are high on substance in order to get through with peace for the day, you need to repent. You need to repent. We cannot change God's word. God's word must change us. Nor covetous. Covetous. Those that are forever coveting and finding peace in this world and overspending to find peace and satisfaction in this world, even stealing, even hating others. Oh no, you have a new car. I don't have. You have air conditioning. I don't have. You have a bigger house than I have. You have a pool that I don't have. You have a bigger tent. Depends on where you live, right? It's relative. You have a bigger tent than I have. You have 3 more camels than I have. When we covet, we hate other people. We steal what they have. Or we want to, but we don't because we don't want the consequences. When we covet, we overspend. And we harm ourselves and others. Thou shalt not covet, nor the covetousness. If we're given over to covetousness, Christ is not our Lord. Nor thieves. If we're acting upon our covetousness, if we're thieves, Christ is not our Lord. Nor sodomites, nor homosexuals. Do you see, it's in the middle of a long list. And the perverse culture of our day does not have the right to remove sodomy and homosexuality from the list. No pastor, no church, no theologian has the right to remove sodomy and homosexuality, homosexuals and sodomites from the list of those who will not inherit eternal life. Nor adulterers, nor idolaters, nor fornicators. The problem, dear church, the problem, how did we get here? In part, is because pastors have stopped dealing with sin in general. We've stopped addressing fornication. And we have fornication going on in our youth groups. Fornication going on in our Bible study groups. Fornication going on in the church. Openly. People living together in a sinful, fornicating relationship, but it's all good and fine. They come and worship Jesus with us. It's all good. Jesus is down with that. No, He's not. He'll rescue you from that. He'll make you a new creature. He'll bring you out of that. But He's not down with fornication. He's not down with adultery. Not down with that at all. He is a God of love, so He sent His Son to die for sin. And Christ paid an immeasurable price for sin. He's not down with sin. He came down for sin, and He suffered the fullness of the wrath of God for sin. He is not down with sin. Fornicators. Adulterers. We long ago in the evangelical American church stopped dealing with fornication and adultery, and thus we have reaped what we've sown, the sexual revolution. Right in the midst of that is idolatry. We have people professing Christ, but they perverted who Christ is. We have people professing to believe in the God of the Bible, but they've perverted who God is. They're claiming that He is a God who is down with, who is cool with, was accepting of and tolerant of a rainbow culture of perversion. That's idolatry. That's another God. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. They will not inherit the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? Heaven! What is the kingdom of God? Christ the King will come back. And He will set up His kingdom. He will rule and reign with a rod of iron. A new heavens and a new earth in which only righteousness dwells. It is that which we're looking for in 2 Peter 3. None of these will inherit the kingdom of God. Here's the good news, verse 11. The promise of the new creation, verse 11. You can have been each and every one of those things. And most of you are at least one or two, maybe three, maybe four of those things at one time or another. Here's the good news. Such were some of you. Anchor your soul to those words. Such were some of you. That's gospel news. That's good news. Such were some of you. You can have been any of those things or all of those things. But if you are in Christ Jesus, it's past tense. You can have been. You once were. Such were some of you. Amazing news. He makes us new creatures. The devil comes and says, stay as you are. In fact, get worse. Become something else. Something more perverted yet. Something wild and crazy and wicked. And that's all great and fun and you'll find satisfaction. But no, you won't. No, you won't. What Bruce Jenner is going to find is a hell he has created now, and unless he repents, a hell later. Because the wages of sin is death. And you do not find peace through mutilation of your body, mutilation of your relationships, mutilation of our constitution, mutilation of truth. Peace is through repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. And he'll make you a new creation. Such were some of you. Amazing news. You do not have to be a thief forever. You do not have to be a drunkard forever. You do not have to be a reviler forever, so full of hate. You do not have to be a homosexual forever. That's not what you are. That's not what you are. Hi, I'm a thief. You know, that's my genetic coding. That's what I am. Hi, I'm a drunkard. That's my genetic coding. That's what I am. Hi, I'm an adulterer. That's just what I'm sorry, honey. I'm sorry. I'm an adulterer. That's just in my genes, in my genetic code, right? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm a fornicator. That's just what I am. That's who I am. That's nonsense, and we all recognize that. And yet, with homosexuals and sodomites, as the scripture says, we make exceptions and we say, oh, that's what they are. And who are you to question what God created them to be? God didn't create them to be that. God created them to be a man or a woman. And to, in the context of marriage, celebrate the sexual union for the glory of God as a celebration of the covenant of marriage to produce godly offspring. That's God's design. For man's blessing and his glory. Such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Hear me, saints. Hear me, church. Hear me, dear deceived sinner. This is a gospel matter. This is a gospel matter. This is an assault upon the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not a political matter. It's not a judicial matter. It's not a matter of freedom. It's a matter of heaven and hell. It's a matter of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And brothers and sisters, we must stand firm against the wiles of the devil. In the defense of the gospel says such were some of you. The gospel says you were washed, that you were sanctified, you were justified, all past tense. That's what's happened. You are no longer in the list of verse 9 and 10 because you are in the list of verse 11. Such were some of you. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. To claim to still be in the list of verse 9 and 10 and simultaneously be in verse 11 is to blaspheme Christ, to blaspheme His gospel, and to take the power of God out of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the power of new creation out of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the promise of new creation. And it is glorious. Remember these words from 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. Such were some of you. And rejoice. Because if you're in Christ Jesus, those words belong to you. Such were some of you. But by grace, through faith, you have been made a new creature. Final verse, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Anchor your soul there. If anyone is in Christ. He is a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. This is the promise of new creation. Praise be to God. Such were some of you. And praise be to God, there are a multitude who are yet out there caught up in this wicked culture who by God's grace, through the hearing of the Word of God, will come to faith in Christ Jesus. Who by God's grace will be tutored by the law, as Galatians 3:24 says, the law is our tutor to bring us to Christ that we might be justified by faith. But I ask you this, how will they hear without a preacher? We must go that they might be saved. We must love them with action and truth that they might come to know the promise of new creation. And if we sit apathetic and unmoved and uncaring, perhaps even angry at their wickedness, and do nothing, then we are siding with them in the promise of judgment. We are resigned to their judgment. And brothers and sisters, that is not a safe seat to be in. For if we have tasted the grace of God, we must be agents and messengers of the grace of God. That all men, whatever dark hole of sin they might be caught up in, that all men can be saved by grace, through faith, not of works, the gift of God in Jesus Christ. This is the promise of new creation. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this glorious word. We thank you for these promises, the promise of the rainbow, the promise of judgment, and the promise of new creation. We pray, Father, that these promises would be heralded forth in our land. We pray, Father, that a multitude of men and women would be faithful messengers of Christ Jesus. We pray, Father, for your men, that they would stand in every town square, for your pastors, that they would stand in every town square, for your elders, they would stand in every town square, for your evangelists, that they would stand in every town square, heralding forth the law of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit with all due boldness and much love for your glory, for the souls of men and women bound up in sin and on the way to destruction. Lord, may you do this. May you do this, Lord. Grant revival to our land. Increase our faith, our hope, and our love. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.